I can't do it. I can't do it. I tell you, I can't go on.
Pull yourself together, man. Stop sniveling. I don't want to have to slap your face again. We've got to keep going. You knew it wouldn't be pleasant when you signed on. Think of your loved ones back home. Think of tea time in Grantchester. Think of honey on the sideboard, the perfect rose, Edith Mutter Bucket on an old army blanket. Think of all the things you hold dear, king and country, honor and tradition, peace and plenty, Bonnie and Clyde, assault and battery, Wilson, Keppel and Betty.
You're right, I'll do it. I'll go and face them. I'll take everything they can throw at me. I'll make the announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, round the hole.
And here is this week's special guest, flown in all the way from Puerto Cabrera, the whistling imam, Moshe Gwen Douglas Hume.
Hello. And welcome to the show. Now, first, a late sports result. Now, this was delayed due to trouble with our teleprinter. But here it is. West Bromwich Albion 1, Manchester Unslighted 2. Apparently there was an exciting incident in the second half when the gruel keeper pootled in the penalty area. And the referee took down his Blixenschaft. So, on to your letters. Now, Mrs. P.J. of Willesden writes to ask for a lock of my hair. I have to decline owing to circumstances beyond my control. In fact, I've only ever sent a lock of hair to one admirer, and that was a lady in Llandudno. And if she's listening, well, I'd like it back again. On to the next item, the latest in our Movie Go Wrong series. Smith.
Sir, Pornographic Productions and Association... Pornographic Productions... in association with J. Arthur Rank Outsider, present... Frankenstein's monster meets Dracula, the werewolf, the mummy, and the creature from 20,000 Fathoms.
The time is 1850, or 10 to 7, as we say in England. My name is Lyndon Baines Sink Plunger. I live in Bloomsbury, and as our story opens, I was toasting a muffin.
Your very good health, Muffin. Thank you.
Yes, and you too. And there came a knock at the door.
Oh, Mr. Sink Plunger, you must help me. You must. My name is George.
Well, there's not a lot I can do then, is there?
Let me finish. Oh. My name is Georgina Clapper.
Clapper. The name rang a bell. I'd heard of the family, renowned athletes all. Nobody could run like the Clappers. What can I do for you, my dear?
It's my brother Engelbert. He's disappeared under mysterious circumstances.
I see. Well, this sounds like a job for a skilled detective. Have you tried Holmes?
Oh, yes, Dr. Bernardo's, the old people's, and the Battersea dogs. He's not at any of them. I heard you were about to set out for Transylvania. That's where Engelbert disappeared. Oh, Mr. Sink Plunger, take me with you.
I considered the matter. Transylvania was no place for a defenseless, fragile creature with delicate sensibilities, like me. And I might as well take this sturdy young woman along for protection. We decided to start our journey at once. I paused only to throw something into a Gladstone bag.
Why are you throwing me into a Gladstone bag?
Well, I can't afford tickets for both of us.
The scene changes to a castle in Transylvania. Locked in an underground laboratory...
Miss Smith, just a minute.
Yes, sir.
You deliberately used the American pronunciation for a cheap laugh, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Well done. Continue.
Thank you very much. Locked in an underground laboratory, a certain Baron Frankenstein is busy with his beastly experiments.
They said it couldn't be done by man, but I'm doing it. No. in this test tube. I add a little of this powder to the bubbling liquid. I pour in the contents of this container, then a milligram of this white liquid. There, you see, monster. Ah, a superb cup of cocoa. Do you want some?
No, thank you, Master. It rushed my terminals.
Then I shall proceed with my experiment. Come, monster, lend me a hand.
Yes, what-o? Catch!
Oh. No, I meant assist me, you fool. Let us check that everything is in order. Operating table, straps, electrical devices, helpless maiden. Hey, where's the helpless maiden?
Oh, Lord, it quite slipped my memory on.
Oh! How can I perform my work without proper facilities? I, the great Baron Frankenstein, DSC, mad. Oh, get out of my way. I shall go and find a helpless maiden myself.
Meanwhile, Miss Clapper and I had arrived in the sleepy little Transylvanian village of Duderspitz. We entered the ancient inn, which was named after the Duke of Orange, or to give the continental name, Duck à l'Orange. A figure loomed from the shadows, wrapped from head to toe in ancient strips of linen. It held a curiously colored ushabti in its hand. It spoke.
I bring a warning from the pharaohs, a warning from the pharaohs. Southerly gales are expected, spreading later to Fair Isle, Dogger, Humber, and Finisterre.
Yes, thank you. It's just as well to know these things. Now, tell me, where's the innkeeper?
That is me. I'm also the innkeeper. Good afternoon. You are welcome to do the split.
Not just now, thank you.
Later, perhaps, but... First a meal. Now, what have you, good innkeeper?
I can offer the lady my cold Wiener Schnitzel.
Lovely. Any chance of a good full-bodied wine?
Certainly, I'll lock the dog out.
We dined well, and later on he helped me carry my bags to my room. I was quite surprised. These days it's difficult to get a mummy's help. But after he left... I stood at the window gazing at the full moon, and suddenly I began to change into something horrible. A pair of cerise pajamas I'd been given for Christmas. And then I heard something creaking.
It's the plot, if you ask me.
There in the corner was a secret panel. It opened, I closed it. It opened again, I closed it again. Well, I don't mind. I quite enjoy panel games.
Yeah, stop messing about. Let me in. You know who I am.
Good grief. Those staring eyes, that white face. Those incredible teeth. It's Ken Dodd.
No, of course it isn't. It's me. I'm Count Dracula. I've come to make an appeal for blood donors.
Stay back. I have something in my hand that will frighten off any of your sort. It's a lucky rabbi's foot.
I think that's a misprint, isn't it? Shouldn't it be... Oh, my mistake. Here, I ain't got time to muck about. Come on, give us your throat. Come on, don't be shy.
Never, never. I backed away from him, making the sign that all vampires dread.
Ooh, you rude thing.
He disappeared through the panel, leaving behind a faint odour of graveyards and Lily of the Valley. I bundled Lily into the panel after him. I decided I couldn't spend another moment in that dreadful room. I went out into the corridor where I passed a restless night. Sir Darcy Groat, as it happened.
Good evening. Couldn't you sleep either?
He was a tall, stately figure, holding his head proudly under his left arm.
I never sleep. I'm doomed to walk these corridors forever, searching, searching.
Well, I think it's down there and to the right, actually. But, Before you go, tell me, have you seen anything of my travelling companion, Miss Clapper?
Now that you mention it, I did see a young lady in the corridor. She was bound and gagged and being stuffed into a sack by a mad scientist that didn't think anything of it at the time.
Good grief, who was he?
Baron Frankenstein, I believe. He's notorious around here. He's got the biggest schloss in this part of the country.
There was no time to lose. I ran through the night. Which was rather rude of me, I suppose. Outside, a special effects man raged. I headed for the castle. I could only hope I would be in time.
Oh, Baron Frankenstein, why have you locked us both in this laboratory? Why have you strapped me to this operating table?
Well, my dear, it's not generally known, but I have a monster. I need replacements for him. From time to time, you understand, spares, you might say. You are a woman of many parts, some of them useful to me. I can use that part, and that part. I can't use that part, but that part's not bad.
No, no. Oh, let me go. Let me go.
I see. Oh, I shall have to resort. Oh. I shall have to resort to a gang. Air hostess to sick passenger. Tell me, sir, have you got vertigo? Passenger? No, only as far as Birmingham. Yes, I thought that would quieten you.
I myself had struggled up the steep mountain track, fending off werewolves with my amulet, zombies with my talisman, and encyclopedia salesman with my credit rating. I stood outside looking up at the castle.
Incidentally, for my many fans, I, Douglas Smith, am playing the castle. I stand athwart the mountain top, solid, immovable. I am a tall, grey bastion.
Well, I don't think anybody will argue with that, sir. Now, come on, drop your drawbridge and let me in.
Oh. Oh, very well. Creak, creak, creak.
A hideous creature lurched towards me, reaching out with his great hairy hands. He spoke.
Of course you are for crown to see round this stately Douglas Smith, mister.
Oh, very fair. Here you are.
Thank you. Straight ahead is a fine example of a Gothic courtyard. And on the left you can see the crypt. I don't know if you'd care to creep in.
Not just now, thank you, no.
Please yourself. Now, continuing our tour, we have on the right the secret underground laboratory of Baron Frankenstein.
This was what I'd been waiting for. I pushed the monster aside. The scene that met my gaze sent a chill through my marrow, and it didn't do much for my Brussels sprouts either. Miss Clapper was held on an operating table by a steel band.
You've come, Mr. Sink Plunger. This foul fiend was about to...
Foul fiend? 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 What sort of way is that to talk about me? Just because I'm a mad scientist, do you think I don't feel? I feel as much as anybody. I feel more than... I feel more than some. Do you think I don't sob in the night as I twist and turn on my pally ass?
There now.
I didn't want to be a mad scientist. Mummy wanted it for me. I wanted to be a mad greengrocer. Sobs and buries head in hands.
Come, Miss Clapper, let us continue the search for your brother Engelbert.
Never mind that, brother Engelbert. You shall not leave. Monster, stop them.
Yes, master, yes. Stay still. Stay where you are, out of all.
Oh, look. Those electrodes buried in his neck. Those crude stitches. The shaven skull. The wires hanging from his nostrils. Oh, Engelbert, you haven't changed a bit.
So ends this week's production. Now, next week, we'll be showing you the film of the Olympic trials, in which our old friends, the over-80s nudist leapfrog team, were strongly fancied. Well, I'm told we can't expect their performance to have its usual rhythm, as one of their members had to scratch at the last minute. Now, today, a group of us are gathered around the piano in an attempt to recreate the atmosphere of the bygone days when people entertained themselves. or before Radio 1, as it's known. Now, the song we've chosen is by Noel Coward. It's a masterly composition reflecting the current thought that here in Britain, things could get worse before they get better. They're out of sorts in Sunderland and terribly cross in Kent.
They're dull in Harlan and the Isle of Man is seething with discontent.
They're nervous in Northumberland and Devon is down the drain.
They're filled with wrath on the Firth of Forth and sullen on Salisbury Plain.
In Dublin they're depressed, lads, maybe because they're Celts.
For Drake is going west, lads.
And so is everyone else.
Hooray, hooray, hooray. Misery's here to say.
There are bad times just around the corner.
The horizon's gloomy as can be.
There are blackbirds over the greyish cliffs of Dover, and the rats are preparing to leave the BBC.
We are an unhappy breed, and very bored indeed, when reminded of something that Nelson said.
And while the press and the politicians nag, nag, nag,
we'll wait until we drop down dead.
From Colwyn Bay to Kettering, they're sobbing themselves to sleep.
The shrieks and wails of the Yorkshire Dales have even depressed the sheep.
In rather vulgar littering, a very disgruntled group have posted bills on the Cotswold Hills to prove that we're in the soup.
While begging Kipling's pardon, there's one thing we know for sure.
If England is a garden, we ought to have more manure.
Hooray, hooray,
suffering and dismay.
There are bad times just around the corner.
And all look forward to despair.
It's as clear as crystal from Bridlington to Bristol that we can't save democracy
and we don't much care.
If the Reds and the Pinks believe that England stinks and that world revolution is bound to spread, we better all learn the lyrics of the old red flag
and wait until we drop down dead.
A likely story.
Burn the Pope and Boulder.
Wait until we drop down.
And now, to make you jump with fright, the Mary Celeste of the local radio stations, Radio Bulls Pond Road.
Bulls Pond Road is wonderful.
Today I have sitting next to me Harvey Schmaltz, the theatrical agent, who until recently was handling the lovely Grot Sisters.
And thoroughly enjoying it, Pennyboy, too, I'll say. But tonight I'd like to tell you about my new discovery, Jonathan Trollocks. There's the folk singer, Kenny. I tell you, he's the biggest thing to hit show business since that chap with the glasses met the one with the short, fat, hairy legs.
Oh, yes, yes, Gilbert and Sullivan. I must say, I haven't heard of this lad of yours.
Haven't you? I've got his publicity hand out here, Kenny. I'll read you a bit, if you like. Jonathan came from a poor but humble family. They didn't even have a bath in the house.
I suppose you want me to give him a plug.
Yeah, I'd appreciate it, Kenny boy. Anyhow, Jonathan wandered about the country trying to get his hands on old folk...
Pardon?
Oh, it should have been old folk songs already. It's that partner of mine. On a cash register is good. On a typewriter is a right smack finger. Here, Kenny, did you read about Jonathan's daring leap into the Thames to rescue a drowning puppy last Wednesday? All the papers covered it.
They did. I don't remember reading it.
No? Oh, my life. It's not till next Wednesday. Sorry, Kenny.
Is that partner of yours?
Oh, that's right. He's a fool. But to get back to Jonathan, what a future. He's got the whole Harvey Schmaltz organisation behind him. Both of us. Monday, he cuts his first disc. Tuesday, his secret wedding. Everyone will be there. Wednesday...
He rescues a drowning puppy.
That's right. Thursday, we start filming his life story. There's only one thing missing.
What's that?
We haven't actually found anyone to be Jonathan Trollocks yet. Don't suppose you know anybody. I mean, two spots, size 10 guitar for his ear.
I'll have a look round for you, yes. And now from the fashion front, back and sides, Daphne Whitethigh report.
Hello. Oh, the gangster look is still terribly in. And now there are some wonderful accessories to go with the fabulous clothes. For cocktail parties, there's a handbag shaped like a hand grenade. And for football matches, a hand grenade shaped like a handbag. for the younger woman, there's a Capistrani's latest dress idea. It's simply three paste-on flowers, very reasonable, at 3 guineas. Explanatory diagram, 10 guineas extra. Capistrani is trying to extend the idea for men. One flower for a guinea. Yes. Yes, my darlings, but I don't think it'll catch on.
Not on me, it won't. Thank you, Daphne Whiteside. Now, next week, we'll be looking into see-through blouses. And now... Now, Balls Pond Road's own poet laureate, Rambling Sid Rumper.
Oh, hello, me dearie.
And what have you for us in your gander bag this week?
To the lyrical and devious ditty that sung throughout Lammastide by the dwindling band of Essex Graunchers as they court their swains.
Oh, yes.
A swain, you know, is a cross between a snake and a pig. Oh, Harbury, as ugly as sin they are, but you do get marvellous streaky bacon. Lovely, lovely, really lovely. I can see that got you going.
Yes.
Anyway, my ditty goes after this fashion, warmly and trippingly. There was a jolly grunger man who lived in Lowestoft. He nerked his spong from morn till eve and developed a nasty cough. He grunched and whirled from morn till eve, and this was ere he shout, "Oh, I cannot woggle my artifacts while the constable's about." And Annie's colleague replies after this fashion: "But why, my jolly grandeur man from famous Lowestoft, why should you fear the constable to whom your hat you've doffed? For you can woggle your artifacts and ask no reason why. Oh, but grunge as quietly as you can till the constables pass by."
Thank you, Rambling Sid, without whom the show would have been possible. And now for drama lovers. The Balls Pond Road Repertory Company presents an excerpt from Portrait of a Marriage by Ethel M. Goodspreth. It stars Dame Celia Mulstrangler and aging juvenile Binky Huckbeck.
Charles.
What is it, Fiona?
Charles. What's happened to us?
Well, you made some cocoa while I took the dog for a walk. Then we played Happy Families.
I don't mean in the last 10 minutes. I mean, what's happened to us? Whatever happened to our hopes, our fears, our dreams, our ambitions, our plans, our enthusiasms, our expectations, our...
Go on.
I can't. There just aren't the words.
How true. We've lost something. Something's gone. Lost and gone.
Is it irretrievable, Charles? Is it irrevocable, irreversible, indissoluble? Is it irresoluble?
I don't know, Fiona. It's either that or irascible. Did we want too much? Did we dream dreams, hope hopes, desire desires, burlesque burlesque?
I don't know, Charles, and yet I'm certain.
I don't know either, yet I too am sure. Sure, positive, certain, definite, unequivocal, categorical, indubious, doubtless, fanatical, and doctrinaire, and yet uncertain.
Can't we begin again?
Can we?
Oh, can't we?
I suppose we can.
We must.
We will.
Oh, Charles. Does it mean we are going to start again?
Yes, my darling. Yes, yes, yes. Here, you have Master Bun the Baker's son.
Oh, thank you, Charles. I've always wanted him.
Well, in spite of the weather, they're still at it in the Alps. I was developing my biceps the other day, picking up the Sunday Times from the front doormat, when I noticed the Alpine skiing reports. Now, one report went like this. The other one concerned Captain Reggie Probert, who it seems did remarkably well for Britain by coming 73rd in the downhill race. And that was the ladies' event, too. The thought depressed me no end, and I decided there and then that I'd do my bit at backing Britain by learning to ski. So, I decided to pay a visit to a ski school I know just off the King's Road. And the sign on the door said, Bona Indoor Ski School. Agitate the cowbell and enter. So I agitated and entered. Hello, anybody there?
Oh, hello, I'm Julian, this is my friend Sam.
Oh, why, it's Nicole. Oh, lovely.
Thank you.
Oh, how bonus of our dear jolly old Eek again. Don't be strange troll writing,
though. Thank you.
Welcome to your actual indoor piece. That is your actual French piece.
It means your track or your slope.
Yes. Now, where is the slope?
Oh, there's no actual slope.
No, 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 no actual slope.
No, no. Nanty, no. Nanty, your slope.
Oh, Nanty. Now, I mean, you could break your lallies, couldn't you, darling? Not you in. This is, now, you see, this is more your après ski.
Après. Après.
Yeah, après.
Yes. Yes. If you want your actual athletic exercise part, you'll have to troll over to Rudy's Latte.
Mm.
I wouldn't advise it,
no.
Though. At it like knives, they are.
No, not at your age, no. Mr. Orn Ducky. So, Steve, why, even Rudy's taken a few tosses, isn't he, Jules?
Oh, yes. Quite a few, yes. Oh, no, no. No, we provide more relaxed service. At Rudy's, you get discipline.
You do. Squatting around till your lallies ache.
Oh, ache. And the height.
Oh, a great height.
Oh.
Yes, you need to be about 18 with whopping great thews. Yes. Start all of that, don't you?
Oh, 20 at the outside.
We cater more for your mature Omi.
Yeah. Well, you've convinced me now, so what do you offer?
We cater entirely for your evening trade. More your after six, your après six, you see. The boner gear, you see. We'll have a fart around the racks. Chunky butch sweaters in oiled wool.
They come lovely in the oiled wool.
Oh,
they do. They really do. Or there's your hats with pom-poms. Mm.
Long johns in pastel colours.
I never listen to gossip, Ducky. You see, if you're dressed right, it's half the battle.
Half the battle. Yes, first week you'll learn a bit of practical yodeling.
Mm.
You're a lady.
You're a lady.
You're a lady.
Yeah. Ear, Jewel, your voice is broken.
That was me.
Was it? Oh, you. Oh, I thought it sounded a bit night on a bare mountain. Well, there's your ski waxing, stamping round in lederhosen.
Christiana turns without skis.
Does she, by Jove?
Yes. Your ultraviolet sunbulbs to give your eek that outdoor glow.
Plaster casts to wear on the train back.
Autographed by your leading devs and instructors. It's all worked out. You see, heart face. It's all worked out. Yes, darling. Cancel the milk and you're away.
Yes.
Well, I was thinking more of the actual sport. Now, won't you teach me to ski?
A week with us, Trish, teaches you everything you need to know about how to behave at a winter sports resort.
Oh, indeed. What? You play your cards right, you'll never have to ski.
No, in fact, you won't get the chance. I didn't.
Well, that's all, except for this week's thought, which is this. If you were cast away on a desert island with a loaded shotgun, which 8 disc jockeys would you take with you? Cheerio. See you next week.
That was Round the Horn, starring Kenneth Horne, with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, and Betty Marsden. On the musical side, you had the Max Harris Group. The script was written by Barry Took, Johnny Mortimer and Brian Cook, and Donald Webster. The program is produced by John Simmons.